CliffCentral.com.
For Mandla on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Pumima Shehu and you're tuned into Womandla. We do it every Wednesday or whenever you feel like it, because that's how we roll here at Cliff Central. Yeah. I have got a gorgeous friend of mine in studio today. And the reason I'm starting that the show with that song is I said to him, when I said, please come and join me on the show. And he was like, yeah. I said, yeah, because it's like, Yabona, this is that show. It's like lighting paper. I'm clearing the air. I'm running. You know, there's so much toxicity.
Yeah.
I practiced that word.
Idiot.
Flowing in the air right now. Yeah. The hashtags are flying. The girls are upset. Things are happening in this country. It's crazy and it's terrible at the best of times.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring in a real man.
Yeah.
And have a conversation about what a man. You know, because yeah. I think we get emotional. And there's yeah. a lot of things happening that are making us feel that way.
Yeah.
So I've got George.
Yes. Hi.
How are you doing? G. Majeke.
That's me.
He is also the creator, publisher, and chief curator at Marvin, the online man's magazine.
Yes.
So, George, I'm hoping at least you're not just representing yourself, yeah, but
yeah.
you're representing generally the man's.
I hope I represent all the people from Alex. No, I'm just kidding. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, and everybody's up in arms. And
rightfully so.
Yes, rightfully so. And there's always different sides as well to why these things are happening. And I think sometimes it's okay that they're happening, you know, so that we know what's happening out there, and we need to have these conversations as men and women, you know. So, yeah.
I like that you say as men and women, right? Because there's so much, like, stuff going on and going out. And we were just talking earlier that these things around toxic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
around women abuse, around women and in intimate being killed by their intimate partners, femicide, around violence, gender-based violence, all of those things are a problem in society, but they are a man's problem.
I'm always uncomfortable having these conversations because as a man, I know that like things like rape, things like violence are actually a man's problem. You know, they're not a woman's problem. And also, it's uncomfortable to speak about because I'm not a woman. I don't know what you guys go through. Because when I walk around at night, the only thing that I'm scared about or for is my phone to be stolen. You know, but for you, it's a completely different world. You know, you're scared that somebody might come and overpower you, kill you, or rape you, or be as violent, you know. Which is it's things that as a man you don't really think about.
But you have to tell me why then in your mind you then go, oh, it's a man's problem. Why is it?
Because we are the ones who are doing these things to women. Women don't rape themselves and they don't kill themselves and they don't abuse themselves. We are the ones who do it. You know, that's why it's not necessarily a woman's problem, it's a man's problem.
So, I don't want us to dwell so much on all that's been said.
Yeah, because a lot has
been said. In the hashtag men are trash.
Yeah.
But what I would like to chat about is to chat about the statistics are all there. You know, the numbers, we keep hearing this. 1 in 8 women, every 8 hours, every whatever, you know, every 8 hours, every 8 seconds, a woman is beaten, killed, raped, all of those numbers. The statistics are overwhelming.
Yeah.
But you know what they say about statistics, right?
Yeah.
They're like a G-string. What they reveal is amazing, but what they hide.
I never thought about statistics in that way, but now that I have the picture in my head.
What they hide.
Yeah.
So the statistics is also, you know, it's always used to tell a particular story.
Yes.
And I think about, and I posted on my social media, I was showing you earlier, my dad, my brother, my son, my uncles, my grandfather, all of those men in my life.
Yeah.
And I've been incredibly fortunate to have never been in any way violated.
Yeah.
Not by a person close to me or by a stranger. You know, in touch would it never happen.
Yeah.
And I wonder, what about those guys? You know, they, you know, lots of guys who probably never raised their hand to a woman who, you know, don't swear, don't shout as their women, like, are getting crazy at them, right?
Yeah.
But more importantly, there's lots of guys, I also think, like the guy Waga Karabo.
Yeah.
That for a long time he was probably, like, masquerading as this okay person.
Yeah.
And living in society and being all right. And then...
Yeah.
You know, with this monster inside him that's jumped out and not only consumed him, but annihilated this girl.
Yeah.
So how then, in your circle of friends, do we as society assist men to be better? Because I get that it's not a girl's problem, but we live next to each other, with each other, interact.
Definitely.
So it's all of us who have to
be there
in one way or another.
Yeah,
be there.
Personally, I think we need to have conversations, and we need to have uncomfortable conversations.
What are those uncomfortable conversations that need to be had?
Uncomfortable conversations are the conversations that even the ones that we're having now on social media. Like, because the problem has always been there. It's just now, because of social media, it's out there. You know, abuse has always been there, but our parents have never spoken about it. And actually, there was a time where it was actually fashionable, you know, from Ukjekrola to, like, there was a time where if Arakshai, Arakthandi type of thing. And men had to be taught to be like, no, it's not that way. You know, and there was a whole lot of campaigns, no means no, even the chalice, they're on, all of those things, you know. I think as society, as people, we just need to create a platform where we can all have a conversation without being judged, lack of a better word, you know. And that's the reason as well why Marvin was created, because there's a lot of things that I go through, and I don't know everything as a man. And there's other people who know better, and we can share stories, and that's why it was created, so that we can share stories and say, this is what I did for me not to be this guy, or this is what I did when I discovered my girlfriend was pregnant, or all of those things, you know. And that is the fundamental point for Marvin, and to have those conversations, because the more we have those conversations, the more you realize that, is this what happens when I do this? Is this what I do? What, how you feel when I say 1, 2, 3?
So women and men have conversations differently.
Yeah.
But there is definitely in my head a perception that when guys are together, when the things you all are telling each other, you all, you're when they are to turn us off.
Standard.
Is that a
standard?
But so, guys, are you then in those crazy conversations that you're having, are you hyping each other up to become these monsters, or do you hype each other up to not be that way? Niyakuzana, actually, is the question I want to know. Do you then, like,
Well,
rein each other in?
Yeah. The thing is, first of all, you need to understand yourself as a man, you know. Like you were saying, that this guy who killed Ukarab, you need to understand that you're not perfect, and you have demons. We all do. We have flaws, and you need to be okay with those flaws. And you need to sit with them and look at them in the eye and be like, okay, me and I have a temper issue, or I have this. Do I sort it out? Do I know it's there? And I think a lot of people who don't want to face that, at some point it's going to come out. It's like any situation, when you run away from it, the day it comes out is not going to come out nicely. You know what I mean? So rather deal with it, we bear with, like, okay, this is who you are. these are your flaws. I'm going to deal with you every day until I find a way that I'm comfortable with you. But if I keep on running away and I say that or believe that I'm perfect, or and you are the problem and I'm okay, at some point it's going to come out. And when it comes out, it's not going to be nice. You know, it's like with life in jail. If you don't deal with the issues, like, it's going to keep on coming back until you deal with it, you know. So it's as basic as that. And we, as soon as a man, you understand who you are and your impact in society and what you need to do, you also tell the others, you know, you're like, no, you can't do that because that's not cool. Or you have to do it that way because these are the impacts of it, you know. But we don't have those conversations, especially as a black community, and we don't understand the psyche of doing things and having a longer impact, you know. I always credit my parents because they were together till the end, and I understand now how they being together impacted me to be the man that I am, because you see how they treated each other, the sacrifices they made. And my dad was in my life until his last days, and the stuff that he taught me 10, 15 years ago are relevant now, and you remember, like, oh, this is what he was trying to say. So you can imagine.
So it didn't make sense back then.
No, it didn't.
You were just listening. You were just like, I just utopia.
Beyang taida, your time alarm. Beyang taida, uri. But now that you're older, you're calmer, and you understand how the world works, you understand where he was coming from. He was just trying to teach you responsibility. I was trying to teach you kindness. I was trying to teach you love. And also, it's frowned upon for a guy to be expressive about love.
By whom? Because women want it.
No, from other guys.
Women want it. Like, yeah. We want guys to be loving. We want you to express the love. We want you to be all love,
but,
you know?
But it's frowned upon. It's frowned upon by guys and some girls as well. Because, like, you're not men enough. You know, you're not gangster.
So, in your group of guys, near you make each other then feel bad about those things.
Yes, you know, like, you soft, you know, what kind of a guy are you? You know, you must take control. And, like, then you realize that actually there is power in coming from a place of love, you know. There is, how can I put it? It's like, in general, someone who shouts, people always think that that person is smarter than someone who just comes from a gentle place. But I always believe that the person who comes from a gentle place is probably wiser and understands the situation and probably would control the situation better than someone who just comes in and shouts and makes everybody uncomfortable and wants to be seen as the big guy. Because behind that, it's just a fragile little child at the end of the day. So
now, growing up, again, you know, because these things are about perceptions, and
yeah.
And I think I said this to you also on the phone when I asked you to come and chat with me,
yeah.
Is I think that there's a lot of talking past each other,
yeah.
That happens between men and women.
Yeah, definitely.
In particular, in our kind of generation,
yeah.
You know, in age groups, we're all like, I want to be heard.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how well I'm listening to you. And I think the one thing that I've seen around the men are trash.
Yeah.
Hashtags and the conversations that are only at the beginning, only the surface is being scratched.
Yeah.
The one thing that I've seen over and over again is this talking past each other, is this not listening to each other.
Yeah.
I actually saw I wanted to share this that I saw on social media again yesterday. Somebody posted, and I thought it's exactly the way that I've been feeling about what I've been seeing. Tumelo Mogale, a guy, put this up on his Instagram yesterday. And it says, if this hashtag not all men are trash thing funny, I find this hashtag not all men are trash thing funny.
Yeah.
Hashtag men are trash is a movement against patriarchy, rape culture, sexism, female abuse. What is not all men trash about?
Yeah.
Defending male dignity? Whoa. Who said anything about your dignity, fam?
Yeah.
Hashtag men are trash was never an attack on male dignity. Mm-hmm. You have created a response movement that isn't even a response to what is being said.
Yeah.
You're saying women are, we're saying women are being killed and raped.
Yeah.
You're saying, but I'm a decent guy. Do you see that you aren't even having a conversation here at
disconnect.
All? You, we're not listening, and that's the big problem. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the thing that I've been seeing a lot of that says, okay, so you want to defend your dignity? That's fine. You can defend your dignity at any other time, but this conversation that's being had here is not about that.
Yeah, I picked it up actually even from last year that there's a huge disconnect between men and women. And that's why we also have a lot of women who write for Marvin, so that I can understand where you come from and we can have a conversation. We all want to be heard, you know, as men and women. If you hear me, that means you value me. And if I feel valued, then I feel loved. And that's where a lot of our issues as men, they come from there, you know. Even the cheating part, the source of it, the core of it, comes from that. You've seen situation where a guy is cheating with someone who's not even close to actually the wife. And it's not necessarily because of looks or anything. It's because maybe that woman or that girl listened to him. And, you know, because we communicate differently. When I speak, I want you to be completely quiet so that I can finish my story. Then you come in. But when women speak, you guys can speak
on top of each other.
On top, and you guys can
excite each other
and understand each other. But we can't.
And have fun.
Yes. When you speak to me like that, I feel like, okay, so you don't want to hear my story. Let me just keep quiet.
Mario, what if I'm adding?
Even the adding, when you think you're adding, to me it says, you're not really interested in my story. And those are the nuances that I think we need to understand with men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know that, okay, when George speaks, I just need to be quiet, let him finish, then I'll come in. Then I'll feel like, okay, you've listened to me, you've heard me. And I appreciate that. Then it's easy for me now to hear your stuff as well, you know. But there's a huge disconnect between.
Do you think that? And you live in an online space. You work in an online space. That's your world.
Yeah, that's my world.
That's where you play and work. And do you think that online has made it worse?
Not necessarily. It has always been there. It has always been a problem. It's just now. It's bringing it out. It's like racism. Racism has always been here before online. But it's just now, because now you can screen grab and like, this person has been racist. And you can say this person and this person. So I don't think it has made it worse. It's just highlighted the problem.
We can call each other out more.
We can call each other out more, which is good, because there's a lot of people who distance themselves from the problem. They're like, yeah, but I'm okay. I'm not trash. So, mina, I'm pumela. And the thing is, like you're saying, you know what I mean? Does it contribute to the problem?
I've seen people posting that, I'm not trash, and somebody must come here and call me
that's
trash. Uzobon. And
silly.
Then I think, oh, even just that says that you actually have a problem.
Yeah.
Also, when what is this? How is your response to this thing? You know,
like,
people are violent.
Really, people are dying, and you wanna really make it out about a hashtag about you? Like, really, really? You know? So it's quite interesting.
The kinds of things, and you know, I think one of the things that we as women find very, the word is not confusing, but hard to fathom.
Yeah.
So hard to distill and understand and respond appropriately about men.
Yeah.
Is also the way that you solve everything. Is right? So we girls talk about everything.
Yeah.
So if I feel crap, if I had a bad day, if I have a problem, if something irritates me, I'm very likely to come to you at the end of the day as my man or whatever and say, ooh, you won't believe, this guy at my work, blah, 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 or this person, or this, you know, and just because I'm venting it.
Yeah.
And the big response that always comes is then you're like, okay, we're solving it like this. And sometimes I don't want it solved. I just want you to listen.
But the thing is, then that's where the communication comes from, you know, because all we know is, all we are taught is to solve problems. That's what we are taught from a very early stage. We don't know what part to listen to and what part not to solve. We don't know. We have no idea. We just want to solve everything because they say, you were brought up saying, as a man, you need to solve things. And that's your job. So you've learned for the last 30 years that this is what you need to do. Then when you come to me and like, this person does that, then I'm automatically, you want to come up with, you come up with a solution, even if you haven't asked for it. So you have to unlearn certain things so that you can learn new things. And for us, it's quite difficult not to come up and like be like, I want to solve stuff, because we don't know that world of yours, you know.
So you talk to a lot of guys, you read a lot of things that they write and send in. From all of that you've been exposed to, what are the hardest things that you've learned that men find with women? What is the hardest thing about women for you guys?
I think everything. I think everything is hard, guys. Because here's the thing. You come from a different world. And you come from a world that we don't understand. And like... What?
No, we don't.
You do. Can I explain it in my way?
Yes.
Imagine, like I've always... This is how we see love. Mm. Imagine we live in a house and there's a room they say that don't go into that room. And you grow up and you don't go into... You carry on, you play, you do your thing, whatever. They say don't go into that room, like sharp, whatever. My parents, you know better. And you grow, you get to your 13, whatever, years old, and you fall in love. And now you need to go into this room. And this room is dark. There's sharp things, knives, glass, whatever. And you need to go in there because you have this feeling, you're in love. And this is your first time in this room. And you get in there, you hurt yourself because you don't know where the furniture is, you break glasses and what's or not. And as soon as the relationship is over, you get out of that room. That's why we're happy most of the time when we're out of the... When there's a breakup, we're the first ones to be happy. Then we realize later that, it means that I'm out of that room, but it means that I don't have that feeling that I used to have as well.
Wow.
Yes. So it's a conflict that we have, because that's why also even the between... the between relationships is also long, because you've got scars and you want them to heal, and you don't trust that room because it's dark. You don't know what's going on in there. So when you go in there, you think, okay, I remember the table was here, but you get in there and everything has been rearranged.
Oh, but that is an incredible way of looking at it.
Yeah. So that's why we avoid love as much as we can, because it's a difficult, and you live in that room. You know what I mean? That room, you know where you've lost the matches, you know where the lighter is. You live in that room. So, and you understand emotions and you understand how it is even when it's dark, whether there's light or not. We don't. We just new to that room. Everything that we do kind of, even if it hurts, it hurts even more because it's you're not expecting it. Yeah.
So, are you saying we raise our boys?
Yeah, differently.
With a detachment of emotional...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like stuff.
Yeah.
Because boys aren't allowed to cry. Boys aren't allowed.
But boys as well. How do I put it in Zulu?
You can put it in any language. It's unrated. Okay.
About khalimeli as boys.
Oh.
We don't want.
So you don't get. You don't get reprimanded.
No, you don't. Until you do something wrong. then they tell you that day when you've done something wrong. But as a girl, you get told how to sit, what to do, how to say this. Don't say no. Don't do that. Don't do that. Keep your legs together. Don't sit like that. Do this. Come home at 6. We don't get told that. We only get told when I've stolen a bike, like, okay, that's
stealing a bike is wrong.
Then you shower. Then you're like, okay, so that is wrong. One thing is wrong. The rest is okay. Then as you go along, then only then you discover that, oh, this is wrong. I wasn't told. So that's our world. Then now, see, Ajola, and you are better equipped than I am. You know what I mean? Now I have to catch up to you.
And that's frustrating?
It is, because I'm told that I'm mpelele. I'm enough, but now I meet you, then I realize that I'm not even close. I'm like 20%, and that will crush your ego or whatever it is that you have, your self-esteem. You know, when you think that you're an 80 and you're a 20, that's not a nice feeling. It's nice when you think that you're a 20 and you're an 80, but the other way around is not nice. The other way is not nice.
And about ego.
Yeah.
Is the male ego really that fragile? Does anything and everything poke it? Because this is another thing that, as I'm watching all of the interaction around this hashtag, is how hurt men are. So hurt about, like, what's being said. A lot of which is true, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, the pain that's been meted out.
Yeah.
The harsh experiences, is not untrue. And and the guys are whimpering like, I don't know what, like a hurt puppy. like a hurt puppy in the corner about this. Is the male ego that fragile?
Well, my ego is only fragile when it comes to money. Everything else we can discuss later. I think the problem is it always goes back to communication. We don't know how to communicate. We're not taught how to communicate as well. We just taught, like, just make money and sharp. You know, make sure that you're rich, you'll be good. Then
be rich, be successful.
Then you're not rich. Then now you have to learn how to communicate. You know, it's kind of a problem. Because you think that you know how to communicate, but we don't. Because even the emotions that we feel, we don't know how to articulate them properly. As men, we're physically based. We are taught that a pain is physical. Like, if I fall, I'm going to see the wound. And it's going to get better. But as time goes by and you interact with women, you realize that there's emotions. And that pain is completely different. It's new to us because you can't take out your heart and be like, okay, there's a scratch there. Let me stitch it up. Then after a week, it's better. After 2 weeks, it's healed, it's sharp, you know? That's why even when I'm not saying that it's right. When there's domestic violence, you hear a guy say, but I did that last week. So why are you still crying? You know what I mean? Because we don't understand that when I hit you, your journey starts. We don't understand that. You know, and we need to teach our boys that there's an emotional side to it. And just because you're stronger, just because you're better equipped physically, and you express yourself by being competitive at rugby or soccer, and you can hit Usipho, and it ends there, you know? Because that's how we solve most of our problems as guys. Like, we can fight as guys now and have a beer, and it's over, and it's never going to come back, because we've expressed our anger, our frustrations. But no one tells us that you're a different species. You know what I mean? Like, you don't deal with you that way. So we need to tell our boys that this is how you deal with things, and this is where you come from. Because most of the issues that we're dealing with now, they come from early childhood or how we were raised, you know. Because if even this guy, if you look at, probably if you look at the history or where he's from or was raised, that's where mostly the issues are.
Did you not see the letter from his parents?
No, sorry.
So his parents, what did you think of that? His parents, for those of you who haven't seen it or haven't heard about it, his parents wrote a letter to Karabo's father, expressing their deep sadness and pain and condolences, obviously.
Yeah.
And what I found particularly interesting is they say, you know, as a parent, you try to raise your child to be a good person.
Yeah.
So you feel it. You feel it with how these parents, you know, they tried it here. Mm. They were, thought this guy was, he was sharp, you know, he's grown up. And then they also make reference to how they know Karabo because they've met her.
Yeah.
And how they express how they got to know her and they liked her and she was lovely and respectable and never in their wildest dreams could they have imagined that this could happen. Not like this, not so close, not their son. You know, so that for me was amazing.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Because that for me then said, oh, this boy's got decent parents.
Here's the thing, we all are human beings. You know, and we all have flaws, and we know better. This generation knows better. I know better than my father.
Do we?
I'll speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I know better than my father. Mm-hmm. Therefore, and I have more information better than my father did. So therefore, I should do better, and my son needs to know better as well. So parents will always see their kids in the greater light, or in a favorable light, you know, and they will also not see the bad. They'll always make excuses. Maybe it was that time we took him out of that school to another school, or maybe it was because we didn't allow him to do soccer, whatever the case might be. But like, I believe that we are incapable of raising better men because we understand psychology, and I think most of us should even actually be open to understanding ourselves by going to shrinks, you know, because I have as well. That's why I have a better understanding of myself as a man, because I've went through therapy. And also, even that on its own, as a black man, is not a cute thing. It's not a cute thing, you know.
Not a cute thing.
Yeah, it's not a cute thing. So we need to go through those steps to be like, what am I willing to do to make myself better, so that my child can be better, so that his kids can be better, and the people around me can be better, because it's. It's easier to say that we've tried, but I'm sure that I think also they also saw the signs, because you know what I mean. They would have known. Kutune temba, like you know how it is. There's always that guy, like no ningam kwati sune temba and
une short temba
and you allow him to believe that it's okay for him to have short temper. It's not his problem, it's our problem. Do you get what I mean? And that's not how it works.
Well, and that is a point of view that has been touted for women to say, actually, you as the woman, you guard yourself, you look after how you behave, how you speak, how you don't be too cute, don't be too tempting, don't be too powerful, don't be too much of this, because men don't respond well to women like that.
No.
And so
it shouldn't be that way. Like you should, if in Twala now, you should feel free to begin with in our relationship. You should wanna be as powerful as you can be. I should be inspired by you being more powerful than I am. I should be inspired. I'm like, okay, cool. If she can do it, I can do it.
So, I mean, you talk a lot about your dad and and his passing, and now your mom's also passed, and so you're big brother to a gorgeous young lady.
Yes, my sister.
and more than just a big brother, I suppose you're also then fulfilling the role of parenting for your sister.
Yeah.
And what are the things that you pass on to your sister in how to engage with guys?
Okay.
Not just guys that are like you and like have been through the shrink and.
Yeah.
But just Jay, the run of the mill standard guy who's trying to make it through life, you know, coming through the hood, coming through where you're coming from with all the baggage that we have.
Yeah.
What are the things that you impart to your sister about that?
The one thing that I know my sister has, and I was quite happy that she will come to me when there's an issue, even and especially if it's an issue that she can't handle, you know, she will be like, there's a problem in school, I think this is your part.
And then you go fight for her.
Yeah, like there's two of us, so
between. So the two of you go and gang up against that person.
It's not necessarily ganging up. It's just to make sure that that whoever it is understand that this girl is not on her own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's two people who will do anything for her, and they need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I fear for her. You know,
really?
Yes, I do.
Fear why?
Because she's a girl, you know. I fear for her more than I fear for my brother. Because she's a girl, she's vulnerable, and she's not as physically strong, you know. And I understand the world that we live in, you know. And you also place certain rules around her so that you can protect her. You know, and you're going to try to protect her as much as you can. Because obviously you don't want to be with her all the time. But the decisions that you make for her, you tend to think differently than I would for my brother. You know, because you like...
Does that then not feed into what you were talking about earlier? That because we raise our girls differently to the way we raise our boys, it perpetuates the cycle.
The thing is, it's not as black and white as we like it to be. I also try not to treat her. I think she's very tomboy as well, so I don't try to treat her as a girl as well. We're all boys in that house.
This side I hear.
Is it? We all play PlayStation. We just chill.
But that's not a, you know.
I know. I know. It doesn't mean that she's a guy. But like I was saying, that the rules that you set around her, like for me as a big brother, is to protect her, and so that she understands as well that why those rules are there, and also the rules that my brother sets for her. He explains and says, this is why I'd like you to be here by 6. This is why you have the cell phone, so I can get hold of you. And if you're in trouble, please call either of us. We will not get upset. We'll just sort it out, you know. And so far, that's what she does. If there's trouble, if she's not well, we sort it out. And we're quite involved as well. In her life, in more ways than one, you know. Yeah.
What does that mean?
No, from hair, we sort it out.
You sort out her hair.
Yeah, I buy her pants. She has hectic period pains. Like, I take her to the hospital now and again. You know, so that she knows that you're not that person who cannot be spoken to about these issues, you know. You just make sure that also there's no another guy who's going to come and be like, I'll buy you a time, you know. If she wants a time, she must know that she can get it from us. The hair, all her clothing, it can't be from another guy who has money while we are. You know?
Do you think that guys raised by women are more able to reach into that, are more able to walk into that dark room, to use your analogy from earlier, more easily able to navigate their emotions and how to deal with women?
No.
No.
Actually, no. No. And I'm sure I'll get shot on Twitter for this, but like, no. No. You know why? Like obviously my mom, both my parents raised me, but obviously my mom was involved, like, yes, for me to help her as well, like to clean, to
she
cook.
Was there longer.
Yeah, she was there longer. But if you think about it, as soon as I moved out, you forget about those lessons. You do, and I'll tell you why.
Your mother is side-eyeing you from heaven right now.
And that's great.
Side-eyeing you from heaven after all of that.
But it's because you live in a different world compared to your mother. As soon as I moved out, I was like, so I don't have to cook? Okay. There's Woolies. All right. I don't have to clean. I can pay someone. Okay. Let's put in the budget. I don't have to do how. She's been teaching me to do all these things, but then when you get into a world of
No, that's fine. As long as you understand that you can pay someone, long as you're not saying when you moved out, now you've got a girlfriend and she can do all that stuff.
No.
Good boy.
No, but yes, I think
that one you will not get shot on Twitter for.
Is it? But what I'm saying is it. A lot of the lessons that I'm understanding now is the stuff that I learned from my dad, because he was a man by the time I was a child, and he knew exactly what issues that I will face. So he was trying to teach me at a very early age, or to equip me to say, when this happens, don't do that. You know, I didn't understand it then because I was young. So, like, I think as a woman you can raise a man, you know, but you can't teach him how to be a man, because you have to be a man first. Yeah.
That's too much for me to hear.
Is it?
Yes, because what does that mean? My son.
Yeah.
How do I teach him or help him? And this is in a South Africa where 70% of households are run by single mothers.
Yes.
Right? So how then? Are you then saying that those single mothers are all going to do a crap job to prep these boys?
Not a crap job.
But they're never going to be able to teach that boy.
But there's always an uncle. There's always a neighbor. There's always a grandfather. There's always someone. There's always someone, you know what I mean? Like, there was an uncle that I still visit monthly now, because he was that guy, you know? Even though I had my dad, but he was that guy who taught me one, two, or three things, you know? There's always someone. There's your brother, you know?
So role models are important, because but you need male, positive male role models.
Because you see him. And he lives in your world. He understands what you want to go through. He sees it. He's been through it. He's able to equip you now for what's coming. You want to deal with, it's happening. Okay, Senzin, let's solve the problem now. Where he's like, when you get to 25, this is what's going to happen. This is what girls do. This is what things do. Yeah. This is what happens when you have money. Things change. And this happens. Deal with it this way, this way, that way. Because he's been through it. Do you get what I mean?
So, the change has to begin with the men.
It has to. We have to be there in our kids' lives. We have to be present. We have to teach them. Because they also learn from seeing as well. You know, more than being told. They see you, they're like, this is what my dad did. Like, I don't smoke today because I hated that my dad smoked. And it's not necessarily like a conscious decision. It's just, it's one of those things that are like, I tried it, didn't work out.
But so you tried it.
I tried it. But it, the basis of it is because I hated my dad smoking, the way he smelled as a child. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you think about it that way, then it starts to make sense that why, as a man, you need to be present in your child's life.
With your flaws.
With your flaws. Because even your flaws, now I don't smoke because of my dad's flaw, you know. So you need to be there and make sure that, you know, because like even if my dad is not around, I know if he was alive, he'd be here, you know. And that's more confident than a lot of people have out there, you know. So you need to be there as a man, present. That's the first thing.
And what... And being around a girl the way you are with your sister, do you think that's made you more in tune and more in touch with your own?
Jeez, like I think, like my sister, like I hug her a lot and kiss her, but also we play pillow fight at the same time, and she beats us both on PlayStation. So like it's kind of a I'm not sure, you know.
But I mean, does it make, so your relationship with your sister and how close you've been with her, and protective and watching and feeling the pain, because now you're in that space where you feel the fear and the pain that a parent would, right?
You understand better.
Does it make you a better boyfriend? Does it make you a better, you know, man friend? Are you a man friend or a boyfriend? Boyfriend. Doesn't make you a better boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't know what man friend is. I don't necessarily think so, because I think as a guy you can separate the two. Yes, you can be nice to your parents, your sister, and be a douche to your girlfriend. I think it goes back to understanding who you are as a man. Understanding your flaws, understanding your breaking points, understanding the person that you're dating, understanding their flaws, understanding what makes them angry and what makes you angry and what do you do when you're angry, you know, because you're all going to get angry at some point. Do I shut down? Do I go take a walk? Do I go for a drink? Do I play PlayStation? You know, but it's the understanding of yourself first, because it always starts with you. Before Ngcwala now, I need to understand who I am, you know, before I bring you into my world. And before you bring me into your world, you also need to be like, this is what I don't like, this is what I don't like that, I'm untidy, I'm this, I'm that, but I'm this and this and this and that as well, you know. But if you don't even know what makes you, then, you know, you open to a lot of things that you want to discover in a funny way.
So this one I'm just throwing at you because I know you know how to do this, but you know, we spoke earlier about there've been lots of education campaigns, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
With all that's happening, with all of the stuff that's now in the news, probably because it's being reported more, not because it's happening more, it's just more people know about it. With all the gender-based violence, with all of the kidnappings and beatings and burnings and all of the craziness that we're living with now.
Yeah.
And in light of the fact that you are saying it's actually a man problem and the solution is going to begin with men.
Yeah.
What would be the single message if you could design a campaign to teach men that it begins with them, the healing begins with them?
Yeah, I'm put on the spot.
Yeah. Man, I want you, Baba. Like, as I was starting.
I would create a campaign to make sure that men understand that it's not a woman's problem. Rape is not a woman's problem, it's a man's problem, you know, because you violate. And also it's because we don't understand, or we're not being violated, you know. That's what I think as well, where you like, but now what is this, you know? I would create a campaign that teaches men that it's their problem and they mustn't distance themselves away from the issue. Because I saw a lot of it on Twitter and social media, where guys are distancing themselves from the problem, and you're like,
"Hey, I'm not the problem."
Yeah, and you're like,
"I'm not trash."
Yeah, and you're like, "But now, aren't you a man? I'm sure you know a guy who's hit the girlfriend before. What did you do? You know what I mean? Did you talk to them? Did you at least let him know what he's doing is wrong? You know what I mean?" So I would just teach men, like, don't distance yourself from a problem because it's our problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the ones who are causing this problem. We are at the core of it, in the middle of it, and we're the ones who need to solve it, instead of saying that women are the ones who are supposed to solve it.
I'm glad you came in to have this conversation with me because,
really?
Yeah, because you know, you've turned on the light. With a couple of things for me, and I think the most powerful thing is about this dark room.
Yeah,
is such a amazing analogy, even in my own mind, that I really, really enjoy. Thank you for coming in. I'm going to give you 2 seconds. No, okay, 15 seconds to do an ad break.
Wow.
How do people get hold of you? How do people get hold of Marvin? What do people? How do they contact? Find out more. Follow you. Thinking. Read, contribute.
Yeah, whatever. they can go to marvin.co.za. I don't know, should I give them my email? It's george@marvin.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
Because
give them your Twitter things. Like,
my Twitter is GG Macheke, on all social media platforms, and these are the kind of conversation that we dissect and discuss, and we try to come from a place of love most of the time, and make sure that we conversate and have a conversation.
Conversate. Yeah. There's no such word.
Is it?
Thanks for coming through, George. I'm Phumima Shekho, and we've been keeping it real, having a conversation about men, about real men, about the differences. You know, we have these girl talks, but today I thought, you know what, I'm going to twist it up and bring a man in here because of all the stuff that's been going on social media, everywhere around us here in South Africa, around men and what real men are like. Coming up next is G-Man the Ad Man, who also had a really, really great tweet. One of the tweets that I did see come through, saying, no one's saying all men are trash. Vele, all men are trash. Kuzang di prasalona. CliffCentral.com.